because we want to get our heart centered on God. And also, before we do any preaching, there's always something called, or teaching, there's always something called a centering song. The centering song is there to get our minds off of what's going on around us and get our minds on what's going on within us. And that is God trying to do work within us. Now, I happened to be reading this article the other day, and man, you know, I was sitting there thinking, and this isn't joined the poor, poor, pitiful me club. This isn't y'all pray for the pastor and all that. But I started just naming. I took a list and started listing down the stuff that's happened in the last few months. I remember Linda telling me when she was in school, and she said, "You need to go ahead and get in school too." And I said, "Well, I'd like to get in school, but you know, it's going to be a lot of work." And she says, "You can handle it with God's help." And so we got working, and I got in. And as soon as I got in school, which was adding extra work, stay up late to take care of it, or in the morning before I leave. And so here I'm working this work, and immediately Linda gets sicker. Within a couple of days, Bethany gets in trouble. And then before the quarter was out, and I was in psychology, before the quarter was out or the semester was out, here comes another bam, 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 bam. And I started to say, well, you know what? I actually told Linda I was going to withdraw from school. I said, I can't take the pressure. I mean, it just keeps getting worse. And she said, are you going to let the devil win? And I said, no, I'm not trying to let him win, but good Lord, I mean, I've got to have a break. And she said, why don't you break him? Listen, why don't you break him? And I can't tell you the times riding down the road on I-95, I-40, all those places. I'm riding in the car and I'm doing my homework and doing stuff while we're making that 4-hour drive to get to Bethany and or whatever we had to do. I'd even go see my dad when my dad had the stroke. I couldn't even get my mind on my dad's stroke all the way because I was busy doing schoolwork, and then I was doing sermons and I was doing counseling. And so in the back of the car, I was doing all this stuff while I was on the way to see my daddy, who could have died that day with a stroke. And then a couple of days later, my mother-in-law has, she's got Alzheimer's, and now she's got a heart attack, and her heart's working at 50% and very bad diabetes. And so all that together is a potential just explosion anytime. And so I look at all this stuff, and I sit there some nights, and I just sit. I'll be open and honest with you. I sit there some nights, and I go, God, this is crazy. It's crazy. All of y'all can sit right here and think about something y'all are going through in your life, and you're going, this is crazy. I'm trying to serve God, and the harder I've tried to serve God, the worse it gets. And then I happened to read something, an article, and I loved it, and it helped me so much. I'm going to share the article with you before I go into what we're going to go into today, which is also something that you're going to think is crazy once you see it. And that is, because it's Valentine's Day coming up, and I want you to see. And I can guarantee you more people are interested in being at the banquet tonight than being at church today. Oh, amen, man. Don't shout me down. Okay, so I'm sitting there, and it says detour. Do you ever feel a detour in your life? And I went, good Lord, have mercy. And so I started watching it and listening to it, and it said, whenever you're going through somewhere where they're doing major construction, you always see a sign saying, watch out, detour ahead. The greater the construction, the bigger the detour. The longer the construction, the longer the detour. Sometimes the detours will take you 30 minutes out of the way. Going to see Bethany one day, it took us 30 minutes out of the way. She had a time to visit. We almost couldn't get to her visit because we had all those detours to get through. Almost an hour detour. We could only see her for 2 hours, and so it cut us down for an hour to see her because of the detours. And the man's speaking, and he said, do you feel like there's detours in your life? And or attacks, because attacks detour you from what you're trying to do. Said, just remember, God's doing heavy construction. Come on now. God's doing heavy construction in your life, and if you just allow the detours to be there and keep on moving towards your target, everything will be all right. Just keep on moving. I had Garmin so aggravated with me that time that we got lost and got even Garmin got lost. Because every time we went to another highway, they were doing work there. So we get over there and we had to keep hitting detour. Garmin just finally said, why don't you go back home? Okay, Satan is telling you right now, why don't you just go back home? That's right. I was lost, yeah. He said, why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just quit? It's not worth it. Why do you want to keep subjecting yourself to this kind of pressure? And every time I hear that, why do you keep subjecting yourself to this kind of pressure? All I can hear is God saying, we're almost home. We're almost home. We're almost home. The detour is almost over. Praise God. Isn't God good? Now, I was sitting down thinking about today. I said, is Valentine's Day coming up? And everything is all miscombobulated. I'm sitting back thinking now, my wife's staying over at her mama's house, and she needs sleep, but she's figured out a way to help her mom sleep better at night. So that's been better. But still, so she sleeps right next to her mom, and so her daughter stays there in the daytime. She stays there at night, and they watch over their mom because a lot of times her sugar drops. Usually it's in the middle of the night when her sugar drops. And it don't drop like to 80. It drops to 30. And sometimes lower than that. And so there's some heavy-duty stuff going on. Plus with the Alzheimer's, you know, she doesn't always know what's going on. So I sit and look at all this stuff, and I think about the strain and the stress. And then I thought about the strain and the stress that all this puts on marriages. Now, everybody in here, who in here has got the perfect, no problem ever marriage? Raise your hand. Fellas, it'd be a good time for y'all to get some brownie points. The guys are raising their hands a little bit. Yeah, they were sure. Yeah. Oh, Eddie said, I got the perfect one. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a spouse. Well, this came to me. Matter of fact, you know, I thought about this for Valentine's Day. I was looking up in my psychology book, actually, for Valentine's Day, and it said, the relationship between husband and wife is very psychological. Did you know that? One is psycho and the other's logical. And whatever you do, don't try to figure out who is who. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Okay. Some of you here today, you say, I married my soulmate. I'm going to back down. I'm going to back down and back up again. I married my soulmate. You know, I've seen people that after the first few days when they were in my office, like, this is my soulmate. This is my soulmate. In a matter of days, it has become stalemates. Amen. And this was going to be a one-parter, but on the way up here, the Lord gave me a second part. So you'll get it again next week, the other part of it. Hold on, let me just say something. Let me just say something about soulmates. No, I'm going to tell you something about soulmates. You're not in the wrong place. But no, you're not in the wrong place. What you do is you take this stuff and use it to help other people. Yeah, hold. Your soulmate does not have to be your wife. Your soulmate does not have to be your husband. Sometimes we have different kinds of soulmates. Sometimes our brothers and sisters are our soulmates. Sometimes our best friends are our soulmates. Sometimes there's co-workers that we are soulmates with. Does not mean that's not a sexual thing. That is, you are so much alike that in your mind, your mind, your will, emotions, your heart bonds together. David and Jonathan were not homosexuals, as some people try to say. But he said Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Jonathan and David were soulmates. So when I say soulmates, although I'm going to be pointing towards marriage, and you can take this and use this for other people that you may be seeing and use it for yourself, because you know what I do? When I'm looking at marriage and doing marriage counseling, I don't just look at my marriage now. I look back at my marriage that I have my first wife. She's dead and gone and in heaven. And I thank God she's in heaven. I thank God that she's got peace and rest. Amen. But I'm on earth, and I don't have peace and rest. Sometimes I walk to her grave and say, Lord, how come you gave her peace and you and rest and you let me stay out here and keep on battling? Yeah. So what I was going to say is, so when you think about soulmates, here's what you think about. Sometimes your soulmate number one should always be your spouse. That is your spiritual, godly soulmate to be married to. That's a different kind of relationship. But not only do you have a soulmate with your wife, you should also have a soulmate with a friend. A lot of times we call him our best friend. You may have a soulmate with one of your coworkers, and I'm not talking about having an office affair. I'm not talking about that at all. They can be the same sex. It just means, again, like Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Okay? How many here got friends? Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your brother, your sister. Maybe it's a good friend that you know that you can go to them anytime. And when y'all get together, somehow or another, y'all might start off on the wrong page, but you're going to end up on the same page. Okay? That's your soul. That's another soulmate. Again, don't get it confused. Soulmates do not have to be married, but in order to stay married, you need to be soulmates. Or I asked one guy, I said, are you a soulmate? He said, I'm a cellmate. Me and my wife are cellmates. Okay, so here we go. Now look. How do you know that your soulmate, and I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to kind of flip around a little bit. I want you to listen carefully. If you're not married, you can use this to help other people. If you are married, you can use this for your own marriage and or for your children, helping your children or your friends, or your soulmate that you may have that is non-sexual. There's only one sexual soulmate, and that's your wife. Then there's the non-sexual soulmate, which is a relational soulmate, which may be your best friend or your mom or your daddy, whoever. So you got to remember that. When I say soulmate, it don't always mean your wife or husband, although today we're going to talk about your wife or your husband, although you can still put it to your soulmate and your other soulmate, and you can realize, hey, maybe things aren't as bad as I thought they were. Isn't it nice to hear, I think maybe things aren't as bad as I thought they were? How do you know when the soulmate is becoming a stalemate? I didn't put it up here because the Lord just gave it to me on the way up here, so it's written down up here. I want you to think about it and say, how do you know? Well, let's just go ahead and read this scripture since I've already got it up there. Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, praise God. It's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9. When you see this scripture, you'll see very definitely that soulmates do not have to be sexual mates. It means that you are two together. Two guys in battle. I'm pretty sure guys in foxholes together. There's been a many guy in a foxhole together. They became soulmates because they looked out for each other. They protected each other. All right, get your Bible out. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Just remember this. When the enemy's fighting you the hardest is because he's trying to keep you from moving into what God's got for you. Every time God got ready to promote me, every time God got ready to push me, every time God got ready to do something special, there was always a major attack. You know why? Because Satan wants to keep it like it is, because like it is killing us. And so if he can keep it like it is, he can kill us, rock us to sleep. But when God comes in and jolts us and we have revival, I mean real revival, that's when growth comes. Amen? So, y'all stand for the reading of the word, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath no other to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat, but how can one be warm alone? Well, and they got that figured out in Canada. You know that group called Three Dog Night? Remember them? Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. You know what Three Dog Night really means? In Canada, the sled guys, when they were taking them, they were on their sled journeys. They would talk about how cold the night was. On a regular night, they slept with one dog. And they kept them warm. If it got really bad, they'd sleep with two dogs. But the worst night of all was a three-dog night. So I reckon, so other than dogs, look, I just threw that in for a little useless trivia. Okay. All right. But if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath nowhere to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will have heat, but how can one be warm? And if one prevaileth against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you are alive and well, and God, that you are on the throne. And I ask you, God, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, to understand and to know that you are here, you are alive, you are well. I ask you, Father, right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father, in the name of Jesus. This day is yours. We give it to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody that the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Okay, soulmates are stalemates. All right, how can you tell when the soulmate is starting to become a stalemate? How can you tell? Number one, instead of addressing him and thinking of him and her as Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, all of a sudden now you're starting to think, maybe they're Mr. Wrong. Maybe they're Miss Wrong. You're married. You think they're Mr. Right. You think they're Miss Right. But now you're starting to say, I'm not sure. Maybe I married Mr. Wrong. Number two, in the morning, first thing in the morning, instead of wanting to grab your soulmate, you want to grab your suitcase and get out of Georgia. When that starts happening, the soulmate has become a stalemate. And finally, you hear this. I hear it all the time. Well, I love them, but I'm not in love with them. If I had a quarter for every time somebody told me that in my office, or even at Walmart. Yesterday, I was going to the Dollar Tree just picking up some stuff for the toiletries, and I was working on my sermon, and it was in my pocket, and it fell out on the counter. And I said, well, we can't lose that. She said, what is that? And I said, that's part of my sermon tomorrow. And she just said, what you preaching on? I said, soulmate or stalemate. There's people lined up behind me. She goes, tell me about it. So look, they're lined up. She could care less. She wanted me to talk to her. How do I know I married the right one? Wild, wild stuff. People are hurting everywhere. So again, number one, you start thinking you might have married Mr. or Mrs. Wrong. Number two, instead of grabbing them in the morning, you want to grab your suitcase. Number three, you hear, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, which is saying is, I have compassion for you, but I don't have passion for you. So here it goes. Here we go. Let's move on. Y'all are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. So let's go. None of y'all said that to each other lately, have you? I hope not, because if you had, it's probably y'all looking at me so funny. All right, let's get ready. Did you know that God is the reason we get married? Did you know that? You say, well, where'd marriage come from? Did it come from the courts? No. Did it come from Old English? No. Did you know that every tribe, every nation, every people everywhere have a form of a marriage covenant? Matter of fact, in the law's eyes, it's a contract, but in God's eyes, it's a covenant. There's a difference. Contract, that's to protect your rights and limit responsibilities, but in God's eyes, it is you give up your rights and assume responsibility in a covenant. And so it's a covenant relationship that God has put there. I'm just going to read this. Y'all can read along with me. You don't have to read it out loud unless you want to, but here it is. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a crazy woman to be me for him. Look, Benny just took. I see Benny going down. See the flames popping behind his head. All right, it's not good for man. Not good that man should be alone. So I'll make for him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and of every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature. You got to remember, this man's a smart man. He's got 100% of his brain. We only use about 10% of ours. Some use a whole lot less. Some of them, matter of fact, I think if they had a rummage sale and sold brains, they could get top dollar because it's not being used. So, and after the fall, that's when Adam was corrupted and his brain went down, so to speak. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Would you just listen? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her to the man. And the Lord said, Now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Well, that's womb, man with a womb, but I kind of think about this. She come walking up. Can you imagine? You ain't never seen a woman. Here comes a woman. She ain't wearing nothing. She's looking at him going, I'm yours. And he goes, whoa, man. Whoa, man. Okay. And then it says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. I heard about a little boy went to Sunday school. He heard this story. He woke up in the middle of the night. His side's hurting. He runs to his bed and he says, Mama, Mama, Mama. She says, what? It says, my side's hurting. She says, yeah. He says, I'm thinking I'm getting ready to have a wife. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Relationship. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So here we go. Quickly, I'm going to try to be quick. Try. Y'all hear me? I said try. And try means I may. Ready? God's reasons for marriage, and we're going to take it right from here. Number one reason for marriage is, hey, it's God's plan. From the very beginning. Although he made Adam, he didn't go, well, I made Adam, and I didn't make Eve, and so I messed up. I got to go back and make a woman for man. No. He did everything else. He created everything else and he created man. But the way he created woman was he wanted man to understand that he didn't go to Walmart and pick her. You know, y'all can go, y'all, did y'all know y'all could go to Burger King today and it says free wifey right on the door. Y'all seen that sign, free wifey? Oh, that's Wi-Fi. Oh, I thought it was wifey. I thought there was a drop-off spot there. I'll have a Big Mac and a Whopper and take my wife, please. All right. All right. He wanted God. God wanted man to understand that the relationship that he was getting ready to embark on was not the same kind of relationship that he was going to have with all the animals and with all the earth. It was going to be a different relationship entirely. It was going to be so different that he had to understand that this was going to be something special that God created and God endorsed and God took care of. So here it is. Here it is. It's God's plan from the beginning. Not only is it God's plan from the beginning, watch this. First, it's to prevent solitude. Sometimes solitude's okay. Sometimes I just want to be by myself. But you know what? Only for a short while, I always want to be with somebody. I got to be doing something, talking to somebody. I mean, I get tired of talking to the walls. In the street post, and to my steering wheel, need to talk to somebody. And so the same way, God knows that we were created in His image. And being created in His image, not necessarily look like Him. When we say His image, we're talking about we're a trichotomy. We're a body, soul, and spirit. He's Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We are our body, soul, spirit. We are a trichotomy like God. We have the relationship values that God has. So God is a relational God. That's why He created man versus the rest of the animals, because the other animals could not give Him a relationship. Man could. And so because a man could give Him a relationship the same way, God put that in us. Every last one of us, we long, whether we think we want to or not, we still long. There might be times you think you don't, but I guarantee you, we long to have somebody. How many remember that movie Castaway with Tom Hanks and Wilson? He had nobody to talk to, so he took a volleyball that had that handprint on it when he busted his hand, and that became Wilson was the ball's name, and so Wilson was his companion, his soulmate. He was so connected to Wilson, although you're 5 years on that island, he was so connected to that ball that when he's off and the ball floats off and he can't get to him, I'm telling you something. It had me in tears. A volleyball. A volleyball. It's leaving him, but you could see it was his soulmate. You know, my wife and I were watching Ben-Hur. And as they're watching Ben-Hur, and as they're all floating off the new Ben-Hur, and as they're all floating off, you know, when Ben-Hur saves that guy and becomes the son of this other guy, adopted son, before he goes to save him, the boats have been exploded, and the boats are going away, pieces are floating away, and there's a little thing on the water floating away, and my wife looks over at me and hollers, Wilson! Wilson! Don't go, Wilson! I'm sorry! And here I was getting into Ben-Hur, and now all of a sudden I'm just laughing, disturbing the people around me. And they looked at me and I said, oh, nothing had to do with Wilson. They're going, huh? Okay. So, God made us to not be alone. He said, it's not good. Plus, he put us together for procreation. You can't put two men together and procreate. You can't put two women together and procreate. You have to put a man and a woman. It has to be a man and a woman to procreate. And so, because of that, God said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay? He wasn't just talking to the rabbits. He was talking to man. He wasn't just talking to the trees. He was talking to man. He wasn't talking to the deer. He was talking to man. Be fruitful and multiply. I want you to subdue or to fill up the earth with more people. All right. Then, he did it because he wanted to protect man's sanctity. He said, I want you to cleave to your wife, meaning you're not going to have a whole bunch of relationships. If you have a whole bunch of relationships, and we might talk about this next week, any man that has a whole bunch of relationships with a bunch of women, actually, he doesn't have peace. He still feels alone, and he has that in to want to procreate, but he can't. There's all this stuff within him, and although you may think he's a cool dude, he got 10 women last week riding with him, he's not happy. It's when you get your soulmate, you get happy. Same with a woman. She may have 10 guys, but when she's not happy, until she gets that one man, the soulmate. So protect man's sanctity, and also to produce a powerful team. Now, here, listen to this. This is powerful stuff here. Now, this powerful team, watch this. Number one about this powerful team, they're perfect mates. He was made from his rib. She was made from his rib. Because she was made from his rib, this is some awesome DNA. This is not like, well, you know, I don't know. Can you imagine when they did get married and they argued? Can you imagine their arguments? She can never say, I'm going home to mother. He could never compare her cooking to his mom's. Can you imagine these guys? I mean, he's the first one. So here you go. So they were perfect mates. God has for us our perfect mate. Although, let me tell you something about your perfect mate. Guys, I want you to look at your wife right now. Look at her. And I want you to tell her this. I'm letting you say it. Wives, don't get mad at them. I'm saying it. They're just repeating what I'm saying. Linda's going to watch this on YouTube. Linda, I'm saying it. You know it's true. Here it is. Wife, you are my perfect, imperfect mate. You are my perfect and perfect mate. Now, wives, look at your husbands. Say, hubby, you are my perfect, imperfect mate. All right. The reason I said that is because when you say perfect, you say, that guy ain't perfect. Have you seen him? Have you seen what he does when he gets up in the morning? Have you seen him in the bathroom trying to get ready? Have you seen my wife before she puts her makeup on? The guy got married. He'd never seen his wife without makeup. He didn't know that she had a wig and she had false teeth. He didn't know that she had a glass eye. She just could sing pretty. And he just kept hearing the singing. He thought she was awesome. And so the day when they get married and they're getting ready to go to honeymoon. They're in the honeymoon and she comes out of the bathroom. And he didn't even notice that she walked with a limp. All he could think about was how pretty she sang. And so she comes out of the bathroom. She ain't got any hair. One of her eyes are out. She ain't got any teeth, got no makeup, and she's walking with a limp. He looked at her and said, sing, honey, sing! You are your mate's perfect mate. All right? Number two, your soulmate. Just said you're naked and not ashamed. Okay, naked and not ashamed. What does that mean? That means we are so connected that we know about each other. So I'm naked to my wife. I'm not talking about clothes. I'm naked to my wife. Husbands, you're naked to your wife. Wives, you're naked to your husband, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And so during this process, if you're with your soulmate, then the soulmates, when they're operating in all their cylinders and doing it right, then you are not having, listen, you're naked before them and you're not ashamed because you're not trying to hide something from them. They're your soulmate. All right? So, and then a powerful mate because he says, I want you to subdue and have dominion over the earth. Wow. Subdue means to bring it under subjection, And then dominion means actually, now you call the shots. Bring it in and call the shots. Now, man is being good about subduing and dominion, because you see that all the time in zoos, and you see that all the time in foundries and places, but he's had a hard time with the other two, perfect mates and soulmates. And somebody said, well, the divorce rate, well, one time the divorce rate was up to 50%. And somebody said, well, now I read a thing that said, well, the divorce rate was going down a little bit. And then they found out the reason it was going down, it was just like when the government was trying to tell us that unemployment was going down, but there was more people out of work. It's because they didn't tell you that although they had 10,000 less requests for unemployment this week, he didn't tell you that 20,000 people quit looking. So the unemployment rate was actually higher. You know, the divorce rate or the breaking of covenant is higher than it's ever been, but now people choose, instead of getting married, just living together. So they won't have to have that problem of breaking up and tearing things all to pieces. So they're thinking they're doing themselves a favor, but they're not. So here it is. Here it is. So they're soulmate, they're powerful mates. Watch this here. I'm getting close to the end, I think. Ready? Isn't this good stuff? Okay, good stuff. All right. Now here's a soulmate. A soulmate is someone who's aligned with your heart, your mind, emotions. When I say your heart, I'm talking about your will. So you can say your will and emotions. We'll talk about that next week. But somebody's your soulmate. They are connected or aligned with your soul, your heart, your mind, emotions, your will. They're sent to challenge you, to awaken you, and to stir you in order that you can be better with them than you can by yourself. You hear it all the time, behind every good man is a good woman. You hear it all the time, behind every good woman is a good man. You hear these things because I see a lot of people that they were one way, and then once they got that, their soulmate, they became another way. Even if you talk about somebody that's a non-sexual soulmate, I've seen guys at work, they were one way until somebody come along that challenged them and stirred them and probed them, and they became a better person. You know, I loved it. Every time I got a little chance to get a promotion at work and got moved into another area, I tried to find the guys that I knew were smarter than me, and I'd hang with them because I would glean off of them. I'd rather glean off of them than me get a bunch of guys working with me that can't tie their shoes. And then I got to figure everything out for them. Instead, I want to be challenged. I want to be stirred. I want to be awakened. Okay, so now watch this. So now we're talking about soulmates. Here's the myths. You ready? Y'all ready for some myths? Y'all say myth. Not the man, the myth, the legend. Just say myth. This is the myth about myth. I'm saying a myth with a lift. This is the myths about soulmates. I want you to watch this. I want you to listen carefully, because this will save. Listen, if you're having a problem with your wife today, you're having a problem with your husband. You know, man come home and his little boy sitting out on the front steps, and he had his lips poked out, and he was really about to steam. He said, "What's wrong, son?" He says, "I'm having a trouble with your wife tonight." All right. Normally, go get your kids. I remember whenever Bear would say, "Go get your kids," I knew they had done something. She had had it. Now, again, I look back. I look at my current marriage. I look back at my first marriage. And again, there's nothing I can do except for apologize to her through God and say, "God, make sure she hears this." That's all I can do. When I get to heaven, I honestly won't care. But right now, I care because I'm down here and I'm fighting this fight. You know, matter of fact, she may be going, "Who cares? I'm in heaven." You know, watch this. Myths about soulmates. This can help save your, just this part can help save your marriage today. Number one, my soulmate, this is a myth, my soulmate will be like me. Think about the same. We think, well, we're so close together, we ain't even got, look, I can think of something. I do tell you this, I can think up a joke, and before I can tell it, Linda can think up the punchline that I was getting ready to say, and vice versa. You know, but that's cool, but we don't do that on everything. You know why? Let me tell you something. Listen carefully. We see these little things you can read, these little, what's it, eHarmony and farmers.com and all that, and they put out a sheet of paper, and they make a lot of money at this. They put out a sheet of paper and ask you all the things that you do, blah, 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 and then try to match you with somebody that does the same thing. You think, well, we got to be compatible because we match on all the things. Well, I can guarantee you, you may match on all the things, but you can be together 10 minutes and find out you don't match. Amen? Your soulmate will not be like you. Compatibility is based on character and values, not sameness. Character and values, meaning my soulmate is going to be a Christian, they're going to love God, we're going to be on the same ship, going in the same direction, but we might not always be in the same cabin on the same floor. Come on, somebody. We've got the same. We love God. You're your soulmate. You love God, and they love God. You're saved. They're saved. That's the most important thing, not to be unequally yoked. But that does not mean that you are alike. Here's one I get to hear all the time. I don't know who they are anymore. Really. When you hear a spouse saying, I just don't know who they are anymore. I don't know who are you? I don't know who you are. The problem is you're trying to pull your soulmate to be just like you. And adversity in life and problems in life will cause you eventually to pull the wool down, to open up the package and let more of you be seen. When y'all are dating, get ready. When we're dating, it is a pretty package. It is a facade. Y'all are looking at me now. We're on our best behavior. We don't burp. We don't do other bodily functions. Bethany yesterday said, I said, this pressure's tough. And Bethany said, but it's producing diamonds. I said, yeah. I said, you know what else pressure produces? She says, what? I said, gas. I said, so I don't know if I'm a diamond or I'm just gassy, but I'm telling you what, the pressure's killing me. So here you go. Compatibility. It's not based on sameness. Matter of fact, your soulmate, believe it or not, is drawn to you because of some of your differences, and they don't even realize it. Do you know that you hear this? Now, this is only some of these shows. We watch all these mushy shows on television. I made sure that the women's, what's it called? Ladies Movie Network, what's that called? The women's? Yeah, I took it off TV. Banned it. I don't want to come in and see you going, oh, why can't you be like him? He reached down and he picked her up and he put her on the white horse and he rode her off into the sunset. It was beautiful. And I said, I ain't got a white horse. It's sunny outside. Why can't you be like him? So one day I even took it up and looked it up and said, let me show you something. I looked at that actor's name. I said, see that actor? Do you think it's so awesome? I looked at him and said, watch this. He's been married 3 times. He's not married now. He's dating 4 other actresses. So you want to be like him? I meant like the movie. I said, read at the end, written by a woman. So we took the Lifetime off TV. There was 2 things, MTV and Lifetime. One was corrupting my children's mind. One was corrupting my wife's mind. Get them off! Okay. Do you know that the same thing that... Listen carefully. I want you to remember this. The same thing that draws you to your spouse will be the same thing you'll be sitting with me talking about. Drives you crazy. The same thing that drew you together will be the same thing that drives you apart. When they're getting married, I say, well, what do you like about them? I like the way they crinkle up their nose when they're getting ready to tell me something sweet. I like the way when they're drinking, they just make this little sound like a little burp. And then 6 months later, I hear, I can't stand the way she slurps her drink. And I can't stand it. When we get ready to talk, she has to make this awful, God-awful wrinkle on her face. Just like a mole getting ready to attack me. I said 6 months ago, it was beautiful. You see, the same thing that will draw you to your spouse will be the same thing that will draw you away from your spouse. So number one, I mean, if there's three of them, number one, your soulmate will not be like you. Know that now if you haven't got married. Y'all guys will still have a chance. Remember, I'm playing with y'all. Women, you still have a chance. Remember, your soulmate will not be like you. Number two, about your soulmate. Ready? There will be no, look, oh, here's a big one. If I marry my soulmate, there'll be no issues. There'll be no problems. We'll always be in love. We ain't got to think about it. We ain't got to talk about it. We just sit there and you go, you know what I'm thinking? Yeah, I do. Let's go. All right. What are you thinking? That's the whole problem. What are you thinking? You know, matter of fact, after a couple of months, you're going, are you thinking at all? So watch. There'll be no issues, no problems. You'll always be in love. Soulmates are not born. Somebody said, well, marriage was made in heaven. Well, so was thunder and lightning. Somebody said, well, my marriage was made in heaven, but I'm having to live through hell to get to it. Amen. So watch this. Cellmates are not cellmates. I did it again. Soulmates are not born, they are made. Did you know that? You know what it is you have two committed souls who roll up their sleeves and they fight the good fight together, not against each other. They fight the good fight together. They go through the fire together. They go through many things. Good soulmates will say something like, you know what, dear? You could have left me 100 times by now, but you chose to stay and stick it out, and praise God for it. Our marriage is better because of it. Thank you, God, that she stayed. Thank you, God, that he stayed. Thank you, God, that he realized that a soulmate is not born. They are made, and they're made through the fires of adversity. Amen? Through the fires of adversity. If you don't realize this, you're setting yourself up for a big disappointment. Matter of fact, why don't you just go watch the Lifetime channel? Oh, my soulmate. Come here, dear.
What is it, dear?
I'm going to tell you what. I called it the Choking Puke channel. Okay. So then, number three. We're getting close to the end, believe it or not. I know you're saying not. It's only 1 o'clock. Get ready. We got supper being served tonight, so y'all, if y'all stay here, y'all can eat tonight. All right. Number three. My soulmate will always make me happy and meet all my needs. Somebody grind and go. My soulmate will always make me happy, will always meet all of my needs. Let me tell you something. There's no one person on this earth that can always make you happy and can always meet your needs. There's only one. That's God. God. Your soulmate will not always make you happy. Your soulmate will forget dates. Your soulmate will forget things. I remember the first time I thought we were going to split up when me and DC's mama got married. Before DC was ever born. DC, you might not even ever heard of this. I thought me and your mama were going to split up over this. I was out fishing. I'd been working hard, been working swing shift, been working hard. I come home. I go out to Havens Gardens. I'm going fishing. And I'm already aggravated because I caught a bass and lost it. Caught another bass and lost it. And so I'm going in the house. I walk in the house, and there's candles burnt out. I said, have we lost electricity? No. There's a cold steak on my plate. I said, what in the world? And so I start tiptoeing. Through the house. And I look and I can't find her. And I go to the bedroom and she's laying on the bed crying her eyes out. I felt so much compassion for her crying. Didn't know what was going on. And once she saw I was there, the tears turned into my tears. And she went from Bambi to the Lion King. And I said, dear, what is wrong? What have I done? She said, today was our 6-month anniversary. You should have known it. You should have brought me flowers and candy. You should have been here waiting for me. I made you a steak. The candles are burnt out. The steak's cold. I don't care if you eat it. If you do, I hope you choke on it. I didn't read in the rule book where I had to celebrate my 6-month anniversary. Matter of fact, I didn't see any rule book where I needed to keep up with the 6. I didn't even know it was my 6-month anniversary. You better be careful. Okay. So watch this now. Now look, if you expect your soulmate to keep you happy, you're setting them up for a very strong defeat because they can't do it. I cannot make my wife happy all the time. You cannot make your wife happy all the time. I can't meet all her needs. She can't meet all of mine. She cannot make me happy all the time. It is impossible. We are there to help each other through adversity. And prevent as much adversity as possible. But when adversity comes, it's there to help each other. That's what a soulmate does. So remember, if you're expecting your husband or you're expecting your wife to always make you happy, to always meet all your needs, you've set them up for a great big fall. Matter of fact, you'll start looking at them thinking, maybe I married the wrong one. Sitting on the bus, lady looked at me. I said, and she had her wedding ring on that hand. I said, ma'am, your wedding ring's on the wrong hand. She said, I know, I married the wrong man. Somebody just got that. All right. Okay, so look. So we're going to talk about soulmates, and we're going to go next week, unless the Lord changes my mind, because he started dealing with me today about going a little further. And so unless he changes my mind, we're going to go a little further into it next week. But here we go. Get ready. Soulmates. This soulmate here, look what it says. What does it say? I can't read it. I don't want it anymore. See the heartbroken crying? That soulmate has become a stalemate. Let me just tell you these little things right here, and then we're gonna go make up with our wives and husbands. All right. Number one about stalemates. Soulmates are two people that are connected, but you don't realize this. Both of you are broken. Did you know that? Somebody told me today, said. I happened to see him. I was walking out the vet, and I was walking in the vet, and they told me, guess what? I said, no, why was it? What are you there for? She said, I got my dog fixed. I said, I didn't know it was broken. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm talking about. We're all broken. If you can look inside, no matter how much you smile, no matter how cheerful you are, if you can look inside of everybody's soul, deeply within their soul, everybody's got dark crevices of pain and hurt and memories and things that you wish you'd never had to go through and lessons learned the hard way. If you look inside every last one of us, we are all broken. Look at your wife and look at your husband at the same time and say, you're broken. You're broken. Every last one of us. If we were broken, we wouldn't need a Savior. So look, watch this. Here it is. Because we're broken, now watch this. This is awesome. Because we're broken, we're incomplete. When I'm saying complain, I'm talking about every last one of us has weaknesses. Even Superman had his kryptonite. Amen? I mean, I watched Batman beat the devil out of Superman because he had kryptonite. I was thinking, Batman don't stand a chance, but he got that kryptonite. Boy, he tore Batman up. This movie just came out last year. He whipped up on him good because of that kryptonite. We all have kryptonite in our life, every last one of us. All right? Not only do we have kryptonite, it makes us insufficient because we can't fix it. I was praying. I went to bed praying the night before last about a problem. And when I went to bed praying about it, I woke up and the first thing the Lord told me is, you can't fix it. Now get out of the way. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I thought I had this pretty much, you know, wrangling in. He said, no, you can't fix it. Now get out of the way. And then he gave me some things to do, and I did what he said. And immediately, within a couple of hours, I started seeing the fix because I did it his way. So you're unable to fix it, and so it makes you incompatible because now you cannot, or incapable, I mean, because now you can't be all you can be. So look, because I'm broken, every last one of us are, we are incomplete, we have our weaknesses, we are insufficient, we can't fix them, we are incapable, we cannot be all we can be. Now, how many like that? Raise your hand. Oh, I'm glad you told me that, Pastor. I'm ready to go home now and shout. I'm ready to go home now and jump a few fences. I mean, I'm excited because you done told me that I'm incomplete and that I'm insufficient and I'm incapable. Thank you, Pastor. Guess what? It weren't me. Believe it or not, that's God's plan. Ha! Somebody better say amen or something. Say something then. It's part of God's plan for you to be incomplete, insufficient, and incapable. It's part of His plan. Don't shout me down. It's part of His plan. So next time you're feeling bad and thinking, well, I just feel incomplete. I just feel insufficient. I feel incapable. Next time you do that, raise your hand and say, praise God, hallelujah, I felt it and it ain't polyester and cotton. It's part of God's plan. Why? Watch this. Oop, hit the wrong button. Praise God. Suck it back up. Go back in there. Come on. Watch this. Marriage is to model the church. That's why God, one of the reasons, the other reason I didn't put up there, I put this down, one of the reasons for church, I want this to be last. Your marriage is to model the church. I can hear somebody right now. You sure you didn't say model hell? Smile or something. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 12. I brought out the real Bible today. My daddy calls this the real Bible. Whenever I use my pad, he says, that's not a real Bible. I said, Daddy, it is a real Bible. He says, no, it's not. It's written on a, you had to look on a screen to see it. I said, it's still a real Bible, Dad. He says, no, it's not. Go get the real Bible. You're going to talk to me. Okay? So since this is serious today, I'm bringing out the real Bible. Okay. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, here it is. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same self Spirit. To another, faith, some same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy, discerning of spirits. Another, diverse kinds of tongues. To others, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, there's no man in here that's got everything. Jesus did. We don't. For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, We have all been made to drink unto the Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And on and on and on and on and on. And it says, all these guys work together for a purpose. You know, in here, every last one of us have our own talent, our own ability, and together we make a very powerful team. Apart, we're incomplete, we're insufficient, we're incapable. There's not one person in here that could hold this whole service this morning, do everything in this service, not one person. Amen? Matter of fact, there's not just one person that makes up the whole church. It's all of us. So that's part one. But then here comes the one where people get kind of carried away, and some even get kind of aggravated, and I've even seen some fight over this one. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, and it says, first of all, let me just say this, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. So as it was, we are members of the body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Then it says again, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. Now this, we just read that just a minute ago in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Okay? So now, look at this stuff, and I want you to see something. See, we are to model for the world what the church is. And we don't necessarily model by how many scriptures we have. We don't model what the church is by how great our talent is. The biggest way to model the church is Jesus said, number one, they'll know you're my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. Also, if you're going to model the church, that your family be a cohesive unit working for the Lord. So the need, we need the whole body, but the order, God's even put the order. We'll talk about that again later on, because some guys get carried away with that, and they don't understand this whole system. So that's coming up shortly, but not right this moment. So now, here we go, because I'm trying to get the soulmates. Two are better than one. This is our soulmate scripture. So we'll read it again. Y'all read it with me. Two are better than one, because he hath a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, I'm getting ready to close, believe it or not. Matter of fact, DC, you can count to 10 and start working your way up here. Praise God. Okay. Which way? Yeah. We all going a different way this time because we got everything on this side of the stage. Okay. So watch this. Two people that are connected and broken, but informed. They understand these principles I'm just showing you. Now guess what's going to happen? Now they're not incomplete. They're complete. Why? Because now, because you're no longer incomplete. Why? Because your wife's strengths help with your weaknesses. And your strengths help with your wife's weaknesses. That's why we're a unit. You know, I remember when I first started in the ministry, Beverly could sing like a hummingbird, but I was the musician. And so that's what we did. And then DC and Dan come along. I didn't know which way they were going to go. I didn't know if they were going to be musicians or singers or what. And we just kept putting it in their hands and kept training them. And they got from mom and dad. They could sing and play. And so it was amazing to watch this. But again, We tried a different way, you know, trying to work out the ministry. We found the best way was Beverly would sing them in, and I'd preach them away. Okay, complete. Look at your wife, look at your husband, and say, "Dear, you complete me." You complete me. That does not mean that anybody's perfect. It just means that where you have a weakness, there's strength. God put you together. Even if y'all got married without asking God to help you, don't come here and say, "Well, now I got to go find my perfect soulmate." No, soulmates are not made, are not born, they're made. You need to make this one your soulmate. So watch. First, you're complete. Secondly, you're sufficient. Two are better than one because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has not another to lift him up. And again, if two lie down together, they will have warmth. But how can they be warm alone? So I've gone from incomplete to complete with my soulmate. I've gone from insufficient to sufficient with my soulmate. And I've gone from incapable to capable with my soulmate, because the Bible says, "And though a man might prevail against him who is alone, two will stand withstand him. A threefold cord is not easily broken." And now you say, "Wait a minute, it said a threefold cord. Didn't say twofold cord, it said threefold cord." Well, here's something special about the soulmate. In order for a soul to be operating correctly, a soul has to be connected to God, its creator. So in order for soulmates to work, watch this. You have to be, look, soulmates are people who bring out the best in you, but they're not perfect, but they bring out the best in you, and you're not perfect. But here's the deal about the soulmates. You have to, watch this. Soulmates are not perfect, but they're powerful through their imperfections when they align with each other and God. I look up to God and look over to you, my soulmate. I reach up one hand, grab God, and reach with the other hand, grab my soulmate. That's the threefold cord that's not easily broken. Me, my soulmate, and God. Wow. Your stalemate can become your soulmate again. But without God, it will be a stalemate. Because life will be hell. But with God, your stalemate, your stalemate can become your soulmate once again. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Everybody lift your hands. Lord, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Right now, with everybody's head bowed, nobody looking around, please, nobody looking around. I'm just kind of curious now. How many in here would say you learned something new about soulmates? Nobody else looking around. Would you put their hand up? I learned something new about soulmates. Now, I want you to put up both hands if you say that it helped me with my soulmate. God is still God. Is still God. He doesn't change. You and your soulmate change. You go through different seasons in life. There's times where one of you may be going through mental pain, the other one's going through physical struggle. One may be going through spiritual struggle, one going through physical pain, all this stuff. And so it's hard to keep you on the same page at times. That's why the threefold cord is not easily broken, because now you've got God in it. You take God out, it's a recipe for disaster. Put God in it, and the three are wrapped tight. Because now it's no longer just me and her. It's me, her, and God. And God's the one that's got the glue. He is the glue. My suggestion to every last one of us, if you're married, I want you to spend some time with your soulmate, and that is your spouse. And remember, your spouse is a gift from God, because they take up and make up for your weaknesses, and you got strengths that make up and take up for their weaknesses. Also, I just want you to spend some time and tell them they're your soulmate. Not born, but made. Not born, but made. Father, I thank you for all you do for us. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, I thank you, God, that you work miracles in our lives every day. Just like yesterday morning, you told me, I can't fix it. Get out of the way. The same way. When it comes to your soulmate, when it comes to your stalemate, you got your part to play. But the biggest part you got to play is connect to that third strand, God. And when you connect to that third strand, he can wrap you tighter than you've ever been. Now, if you got a need from God and you want to pray, everybody will come up here. All that want to pray, come on up here. Satan did not want this message to go out today. Satan did not want this service to go out today. Period. Because this was a healing service. There's some people in here that don't even realize it yet. But the healing was there. Yesterday I sent about healing. Time heals. But time also, healing requires time, but healing also requires opportunity. Today was opportunity. Today was opportunity. All that will come and pray. All that will come and pray. Thank you.